Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 222, or 222. And this is the show where we talk about Android apps. Four guys on the show, we each bring a bunch of apps, and we hope that we can enlighten you guys on some apps that maybe you never heard of before. And this show is the show I think we could do it with, because it's Friday, and this is the show where we empty the tank. If we have any apps we haven't talked about all week, we just let them out now. So you're about to get barraged, so be ready. Let me introduce the co-host, and we'll get into some app action, starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Dora?
Hey, Steve. It's two cubed, by the way, just to let you know.
That's what show number we're on?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And joining us, Eric Ardini from dinimedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Hey, I don't know if we each bring a bunch of apps. I know a couple of us do always bring a bunch of apps, but we all bring apps for sure.
Yeah, we bring a bunch together.
Yeah.
Some of us pick up the slack. Slack left by me, not you guys. You're picking up my slack always. And also joining us, Jeff Halish, host of Podnuts Daily and Podnuts on the Podnuts Network, and also owner of TechNut PC Computer Repair. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing? Just glad to be here and ready to share a barrage of apps.
Nice. Do you have a nice full tank tonight?
Oh, yeah. Maybe not bigger than doors, but maybe close.
All right, let's see what you got. Wow. You can go first to show if you want.
Okay. All right, very first app. This is actually four-door.
Like a sedan?
This is called Only One, because I know how he loves his 8-bit games, even though he says he doesn't play games. He's a liar.
Just like, oh, he's here.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Dor. Anyways, I just, number one, the title itself, Only One. I'm a big Highlander fan, so I thought, you know, there could be only one. I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. 8-bit guy holding a sword. It's got to be a cool game, right? So basically, this is a game where the, you know, the guy's in the middle with a sword, and there's all these 8-bit creatures and people that come and attack him, shoot arrows and all kinds of stuff, and he's got to sit there and fight them off. The you know, the cliche sword sounds and all the kind of zing and, you know, all that kind of cool stuff is going on. And it keeps putting on more and more people on this round pedestal. You can knock them off. And when you cut them up, they're, you know, laying there in a bloody mess, but it's, you know, it's a nice bloody mess. Nothing too grotesque or anything like that. After all, it's 8-bit.
It's a couple of red pixels.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I just thought this was a really neat game. You got a directional stick and a sword, and then you can get power-ups. And you can do things like, you know, push them, you know, almost like a force push or something like that from Star Wars. You know, there's all that kind of stuff. So I thought it was a neat game that it's just a time waster. And, you know, you see how many levels you can get through. I didn't make it through very many. Apparently, I'm not good at these types of games. I only made it through maybe three rounds. So, but it was just a fun time waster.
I love that you're on a pedestal and you got to knock people off of it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
I'm watching the video now.
Is it easy control? Does the control work good?
Yeah, it works like decent. I mean, I really like the touch games better. You know, the directional sticks are kind of hard, but I think you can get used to it. It's really only four directions, you know, and it works pretty good, but it's like anything else when you're touching it and your finger kind of moves away from the directional thing. You're like, I'm not moving. What's going on? You got to find that same spot again. So
I'm not an 8-bit gamer too much, but this one looks like it'd be not too far above me.
This looks hilarious.
Yeah.
I love that move where he spins around. I love his little foot action when he's spinning around real quick.
Yeah.
And I love how the 3D-ness of the pedestal was completely off.
Good point.
That is a good point.
It's like a 2D, 3D game.
The three dimension without three dimensions. Yeah.
But I like it. I like it. I really like this game. Is this free?
Yeah.
Yes.
This one's free.
All right. What do you guys think about this game, Dor?
Well, I think it's a very interesting hybrid, because the plateau or pedestal itself and the background is not 8-bit. It's anything but 8-bit, actually. It's actually almost quite well defined. But the characters and the animation itself is definitely lower resolution. I'm with Jeff. I like the idea of touch more than I like floating controls. So it might take a little bit of time to get used to where all the buttons are, but because of all the extra special powers, I guess that kind of makes sense. It's a never ending killing people and pushing them off the side of a big pillar, which how can that not be fun?
That's right.
Yeah, like pillars or pits that have no bottom. There's something awesome about them. Like you're up in the clouds. There's like no bottom on this. Liam Tidwell loves it. He wrote a review. He says, love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's got to be good.
There you go.
Yeah. Installed just for that reason. And Jeff brought it.
All right. What else you got in the tank there, Jeff?
All right. I got an oldie but a goodie. And people are probably going to laugh. But this is a... oops, I hit the wrong one. Sorry. This is, and I've never heard this brought up on the show, and I did check the notes, so or the spreadsheet. And this is my go-to flashlight app. Yes, I know. It's a flashlight app. How can it be cool? One of the things I like about this is it's number one, it's a nice flashlight. It's very easy. Got a big button. You can turn the flashlight on. But one of the other things that it does is kind of cool. You've got a strobe light. You know, so you can get that strobe light action going. Yeah. You know, lay your phone down. It's party time. That's what I'm talking about. And then if you get caught somewhere and you're stuck, you can just hit the little SOS and it does SOS with beeps.
No.
Nice. Yeah. Especially for us that don't know Morse code.
And you could type in your own Morse code messages.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Whoa. That's. You got to find one of the other five people in the state who can transcribe it.
Now this is cool to mess around with your friends. If you want to go up to your friend's window, you got the flashing police lights. I don't know if you guys can see that or not.
What's the point of them?
Just to mess with people. I don't know.
Oh yeah, if you mess with somebody who just like left the bar and set that on their back window, just as they're getting ready to start their car or something.
Seriously, that would work. That would work. Yeah.
But I just like it. It's a very simple app. I've had it forever. It's one of those ones that it's my go-to flashlight app. I just, you know, the big LED or not LED. Yeah. Kind of not LED, but the tube fluorescent light comes up. It's a big button. You just press it. You know, and it's got some neat features on it, I thought.
That is neat. And I know every time I need a flashlight, I always want to see if there's any Morse code signals I can send.
Well, I'm going to say this. We are one step away from the ultimate touche, and that is if we had an app that we could look at something through our quote-unquote viewfinder on our phone, through our camera, and have it pick up flashes of light and as Morse code.
Read it. That would be cool.
That would be the ultimate trifecta, but it's only two apps. Of
Twofecta.
The difecta.
Yeah, because like, you know, kids in class,
the bifecta, you got, you know, it.
Point their phone at each other and Morse code.
I don't see how this flashlight app could be bad because it's made by Tesla Coil Software, who makes Nova Launcher, Widget Locker.
Yeah, and it's funny because those other apps you guys had brought to the show before, and I was surprised. I was like going, because I was looking at some of those, and I'm like, wow, I've heard about these, and I didn't even know they were the same company. But I've used this flashlight app forever.
Huh. Yeah. Well, it said I had it installed, but I don't remember.
Well, here's the thing. If you install Widget Locker, I know at least early on, and when you enabled the flashlight, it actually installed this app and just used it.
Oh, that'd be it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, very cool.
So I too use this app forever, not knowing I was using this app.
Ah, okay. Very cool.
Interesting. But now you know.
Yeah.
Send some Morse code.
Yeah.
What else you got there, Jeff? Anything?
Oh yeah. This is now going back to the touch games. This is one that I got from. Now it's a little expensive. It's $299. You know, the only reason I say it's expensive because that's what Dora was going to say. But it's $299, and this is a game I got one of my very first Amazon free apps of the day. Way back when it first started. And it's a very easy touch game. I probably played this game mostly on my phone. I mean, for the longest time. And basically what you try to do is you have these airplanes and you take over the different islands. So you've got different numbers on the islands in different colors of your of the enemies. So yellow tries to, you know, tries to take over all the circles, and blue tries to take over all the circles, red, and so on and so forth. So there's different numbers, and when you launch off of, if you have 60 numbers on the circle, half of those will launch to wherever you point it to. So if you click on the one circle and then click on the next one, your half your planes from that island will fly to the next island. You want to build it up so that you can keep amassing your armies, basically, so that you can win the game. And the object is to take over every island on the map.
I don't get it. I wish there was a video.
Risk.
Kind
of,
yeah.
When you land on an island, do you destroy some of the other person's...
Yes. Thank you. Let's say there was 30 blue on an island, and you had an island that had, let's say, 60. And these constantly increment up a little bit at a time on a timer. But if you had one that was 60 and you launched 30, that would be half. And by the time you got there, it's still moving up a little bit, so they would maybe have two or three, but then you could launch from another island and then take that over. So you just want to keep building up your armies. It's right.
When you're done, you might only have 10 on the island because the other people died fighting the other people.
Exactly. So sometimes you kind of pick your points of where you see two armies are attacking each other with their airplanes. You kind of leave them alone to kind of wipe themselves out. And then you kind of move up and, you know, you'll take over whatever part of the map you're on. So
what's the name of this app?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It looks like Archipelago, something like that.
Okay.
It's a really a weird name. And it was just it's not a game I would have bought, but because it was a free app of the day, it's something I play all the time. And it's easy to play. And you can take 5 minutes and run through the game and either win or lose. And it's very strategic. So I kind of like it.
Yeah. 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 I could see that.
So,
well, cool.
Okay. This is it's spelled, I thought, really weird too, but this is Archipelago, which is a group of islands.
Yes. Yes. I did notice that when I was doing a search for this, because at first I couldn't find it on the Google Play Store. And I thought that was kind of weird. And yeah, something about the islands did come up.
Gotcha. Awesome. All right. What else you got in the tank? Just keep going.
All right. Here's another one.
It's empty.
This is if anybody uses, and I was surprised I didn't hear anything about this either. If anybody uses Google Voice out there, one of the things about Google Voice, if you're using a secondary number in Google Voice, let me add this to the chat. There is what'll happen is when you call from your phone, whether you have Google Voice engaged or not, it's going to call with your Google Voice number instead of your cell phone number. So if you have family and friends that want, you know, they're going to think that you have a different number or whatever. What Voice Choice does is you can actually whitelist all the people in your contacts list or the people that you want whitelisted in your contact list so that you can basically, when you're calling those people, the caller ID is going to show up from your cell phone. So if you're using...
Even though you're using Google Voice?
Yes. So the separation of the two, if you're using one for a business line, which I was for a while, I was using my Google Voice number. Mm-hmm. With this app, I was able to make it so when Google Voice called me, I knew it was a customer calling me. Uh-huh. And then I was able to use the regular caller ID for, you know, people that were in my list.
Awesome.
So I thought that was a neat little app. Now, you know, I don't know how much longer Google Voice is going to be in its implementation the way it is now, but I just thought this was interesting.
Yeah, man. Especially if you're using this for business, it's key.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll say with the Android L version, I'm 99% sure I saw a screenshot when someone launched Voice. It asked them, do you want to integrate into Hangouts?
Oh.
So... Android L might be the beginning of the end of Google Voice. I'm honestly, I have no idea, but that screen made me think it might be.
Okay. Very cool.
Cool, cool, cool. What else?
All right. You guys are going to have to stop me. I can outdo Door. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this game before, but again, this is a homage to, you know, Doors non-game playing nights. Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. Not sorcery, Sorcery.
Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. Weird.
This is another 8-bit. It's kind of an adventure game. It's been out for a long time. It's really expensive. It's $4.99. It's almost more than a Starbucks. But anyways, this is a neat game where you basically play an adventure and you kind of drag your finger and you've got to open up different books and talk to different characters and stuff like that. And it's kind of a puzzle-esque type game. You got to figure things out, how to open drawbridges and how to use your sword. And when you actually do attack, you have a sword and a shield that you pull off your back and you can hit the one button to, you know, block with the shield and then hit the other button to hit with the sword. And the way you pull your sword out of the sheath, which is kind of neat, is you actually, if you're playing this in horizontal or landscape mode, the way if you want to fight, you actually turn the phone up or the mobile device up into the portrait mode and that pulls your sword out automatically. And then you can, nice. Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, so there's little things like that. And there's a backstory that, you know, you start off as this, there's a business guy with smoking a cigar, and just the graphics and the artistic way that they put this game together is really, really interesting. It's a fun little game to play. I played through, you know, parts of it, you know, several times and, you know, and then I put it down and, you know, I get bored or whatever, but very interesting game to play. One of these days I'm going to play through the whole thing. And it looks like they're going to have, they might down the road actually have other, maybe other stories that they add on to this. I don't know. So I haven't heard anything lately, but it just seems like that type of game where you could, you know, keep going on and on with a story.
It gets great reviews.
Yeah. It's got some neat, neat little quips in it too. That'll, you know, kind of, it'll say some funny things that are just off the wall and you're like, wow, that's, you know, just very nerdy.
You had me at nerdy, Jeff.
So, but yeah, I was surprised I hadn't heard of this one before either, on the show. I've had it for a while. It's on the PC also. I think it was, I think I bought it. I think it was in a Humble Bundle a while back with a bunch of other games. So, but
well, then I'll have to check my Humble Bundle reservoir and see what's there, because I'm not going to lie. Like you said, the graphic, the art style, the presentation, I like, because to be quite honest, it's really unique. While it is classic looking, I'll say, it's not. It's so much better.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Cool, man. Anything else?
No, I'm going to pass the torch on. I'm going to call it on that one.
All right. We're going to go to Eric, and then Dor, we could finish up with you.
Well, Jeff finished on a good note. That was a nice app. I've got two games also.
Wait a minute. You're not first a gamer. Game,
I'm not a gamer. This, if I was a gamer at all, this first app here would be my type of game. I spent quite a bit of time. I just installed it a couple days ago, but I spent quite a bit of time playing this. Ooh. It's called Eights. It's really it's really, really easy game. So I don't know. Maybe that's why I liked it. It's kind of a play on like
Crazy Eight.
No.
What's it called? Candy Crush. Sudoku? I've never played.
No, 128 or 1248 or something. The number game where you have to add stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a whole bunch of them. Threes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so somebody did this in threes. Eights is nice because I come from a computer background, and the numbers looked nice to me, having 256 and 512 and 64. Mm. Maybe that's why I was, you know, it
had 128, 256, 512, 1040.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
This was a free app of the day on Amazon a couple of days ago.
Yep.
But basically, you start with the numbers. Well, you start with numbers threes and five. You put them together, and it turns into an eight. Put the eights together, you make 16. And then these, you slide the tiles back and forth different ways to make those numbers touch each other to add together. And then as time goes on, the board fills up and you gotta, you know, keep getting the same numbers together or ones that make it divisible by 8. Honestly, the weird thing is the first time I ever played it was my high score still. And I don't know why that is. So I tried to recreate my noobness after playing again a couple other times, and I really couldn't get there.
Wow.
I don't know.
Your innocence, the innocent way you did it.
Yeah, so it had me, right? Because I really didn't know what I was doing the first time, but it just worked. Maybe it was the luck of the draw. Maybe that's the way the tiles fell into the game.
I think it's just genius intuition that just drove you to the high score.
But yeah, probably that.
I like how you said that, though, because it's numbers that are divisible by what we're used to in the computer field. So yeah. It seems like it would be a little more intuitive. Because that's the one thing I can't stand about number games. It's just, they boggle my mind sometimes. But this I might be able to get into.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right. My second one's another game. This one is a very good looking racing game. It's called Pocket Rally Lite. Pocket Rally was another Amazon app of the day. I assume because I have the paid version installed. And I don't remember buying it, but I've had it installed for quite a while. Maybe I did buy it, but I don't know. This is a racing game, you know, like a lot of your other racing games but this one really looks nice. It's got good physics. When the cars go around the corners, you can see the shocks actually working on the cars and stuff. It does have a strange thing where you got to slide in between, like a big brick wall, and you got a really thin sliver for you to fit through the wall to make it through to the other side. I didn't like that too much because that's where I keep getting hung up when I'm racing. I can't quite shoot that hole as well as I need to.
How do you control the car?
With your motion. You lift up your tablet and tilt it. Turn it side to side.
Tilting it?
Yeah.
Never liked that.
No?
I think it has
its place. I don't like it because you got to look at the screen. So if you're tilting it, you're obstructing your viewing angle. You know what I mean? It's like
I didn't play
it's
it
like
recently,
tilting your windshield. It's like, and if you're driving a real car, it's like tilting the windshield of your real car to make a turn.
Well, you just turn your head with it, and then you'll have the same perspective.
Yeah. So you play video games like parents played them, like going all over the place.
I suck at these things, man.
I do too. The thing I like about this game and a lot of these kind of racing games is there's no acceleration pedal. You just tap. The only time you even touch the screen is if you want to brake.
I do like those, backwards. Yes.
You know, hold it.
Yeah.
That's
less to do. Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah.
Graphics are great.
Yeah. They look awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the word light is in the title. Well, the graphics ain't light. These are really sharp looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't play this on my phone. I've only played it on the Nexus 7. And it's beautiful.
Well, Nexus 7 has 12 GPU cores. I mean, come on.
You know, I'd love to they must have like such an accurate racing simulator with like today's technology that like I would love, like I think I was a race car driver in a past life and I always wanted to just get on a track and just like fly. And I don't think I'll be able to do it like in this lifetime without like either killing myself or having $1 million.
So no. I wonder if
they got a racing school right down by you.
Yeah, you could go there for $120 and sit in a Lamborghini and do 3 laps.
Yeah, is there a governor on the thing?
No. It's a Lamborghini. No.
No.
It's a stock car. It's not a race car. It's a stock car on a track, though.
Yeah.
I could floor it. They wouldn't let me floor it.
Yeah, they would.
But there is a racing school down there, too.
How much does it cost?
They've got deals on them all the time. Groupon and Deal News for $129.
And there's one in Disney, Dale Earnhardt's thing.
All right. And what's the racing school, Jeff?
I remember looking at it years ago. It's funny. I actually worked for Ford Motor Company, and they would give us money every year for school. And I wanted to get my private pilot's license, and it cracked me up because they said, "No, there's no commercial content for that." So, but you can go down to Florida and go to this racing school.
Did you go?
And there's a career in that. I'm sorry, really? Okay. And they'll pay for it.
Dude, did you go?
No, no, I never did.
Oh, man. Can I be Jeff Hallish for a week?
Yeah, there you go. But I don't think it was, I mean, I don't think it was terribly expensive where, you know, it's like, it'd probably be like truck driving school, except cooler.
I don't even know how much that costs.
I don't know.
$1,200? $5,000?
I don't know.
Anyway. All right. I'll look into it. I'll look into it. Definitely.
I can give you a price range, Steve.
Tell me.
More than a dollar, less than $100,000.
Man.
You nailed it.
I guarantee you it's within that
range. You tell he's got Google in front of him.
I don't know, Dor. I'm disappointed in you. I thought you pulled something up in a split second in normal, typical Dor fashion.
No, because then you might actually hold me to it if I say it.
Yeah, right. Cool. All right. Well, those were good apps, Eric. I like them.
Thanks.
Anything else in the tank?
Nope, that's it for today.
All right. Awesome. Great tanks so far, boys. Look at Dor stretching. He's getting ready.
It's only warming up. You should just empty your tank, Steve, and then call it a night.
My tank's done. It's all over to Dor now. Oh, what do you mean? Like, and skip Dor, Eric?
Yeah, right.
I get paid by the hour, not by the app. True. So whatever, it's all good with
me. All right, Dor, you're up. What do you got?
Okay, first one here is another quote-unquote official Google application. The best I'll say about this is it's interesting. I don't see me ever using it or a lot of other people I know ever using it, but somebody out there I'm sure will love it. It's called Google Slides. One place where Google Apps and Google Docs has really been lacking is in their slideshow presentation software. It's been really horribly bad. This is another bump up trying to make the whole environment a little bit better, but here's the difference. It's from your Android phone and it's collaborative. So hypothetically, we could make start a Android App Addict slide deck. And I could be working on slide 2, Steve could be working on slide 1, Eric could be working on slide 6. You know, we could all at the same time be building our deck of slides. And when you're done or even in the process, you can open, edit, and save as Microsoft PowerPoint files. That's the big kicker right there. That's to me the big knockup, because I still think PowerPoint is probably the best, if not top two, in presentation software. So
even if it's not the best, it's just what everyone uses.
It's the standard.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. If you at all make presentations, this might be useful for you. If you've ever seen me talk at a conference, you know I don't really have slides because slides are like work.
Dor, I tried this app and I tried to make some, I was going to make a slideshow for us for tonight's show, and I found it really, really lacking. I couldn't find, you know, I've played with PowerPoint and things before. I couldn't find a way to import a picture. The only thing I could do was edit text on my slides. I was trying to make a slideshow only from my tablet, though.
Yeah. I was able to add pictures.
Were you?
Yeah.
I couldn't find the menu for it.
The top of my head, I can't tell you.
Okay, I'll revisit it. I was disappointed. I was going to give it another try before I brought it. But no, that's, I'm glad to know that you can from a tablet. I was like, well, maybe everything's for Chrome or something. Then you can just share it here. I don't know. That's cool. That's good to know, because I couldn't figure it out.
Gotcha. That is pretty cool.
Yep. From one side of the spectrum to the other. This next one is basically for parents and kids. I'm not going to say this is the epitome of kid-safe content, but I know it's pretty kid-safe content. It's a PBS kid video. I will say, if you don't have kids or you haven't had kids here recently, PBS cartoon content is actually pretty good. I was pleasantly shocked by some of it. I'll just put it that way. So this is my oldest son was really mad at me. This is a free app. I put it on his tablet for his brother to use. Yeah, he just wasn't very happy that I put that on his tablet for his brother.
Well, why did you do that?
Because I want him to share his tablet. He share his good fortune. You know, they're brothers. You know, if he can't share with his brother, then there's no hope. I'll just put it that way. So, you know,
it's dude, for the kids. You got muted again.
Sorry. It's for the kids.
Yeah.
So did they both have tablets and now only one has a tablet? Oh,
no. They never both had a tablet. They always only had one tablet.
Okay.
Oh, really? That's why I thought you meant when you were talking about the whole sharing thing. But
because I'd be bummed if I had to give my tablet to my brother after he broke his tablet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I understand. Yeah. And I understand why he's a little upset. But at the same token, I said to my oldest son, you didn't pay for it anyway. You have no idea.
No. You give somebody something, it's theirs. Who cares if they paid for it or not?
Oh, no. I make it very clear to him.
He has ability for it. They're going to treat it as their own. It's theirs. You can't fault somebody for taking care of their possessions.
Steve, no. These are children. Okay. I make it very clear to both of my children, they own nothing. And when I say they own nothing, I followed up with, because legally, you can't own nothing. You're not 18 years old yet. Everything that's in that room is mine or your mother's.
Mostly their mother's, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. Really? You mean mom's, right?
That's awesome.
Well, to be honest, I feel like at least my oldest son will treat it better if he thinks it's mine, if he has to answer to me for it. If it's his... I love the kid, but he's very easy to satisfy. So if he breaks his tablet tomorrow, he'll just start playing his 3DS again. And if he breaks that, he'll just do something else. You know?
I got you. I don't like that strategy, but let's move on.
I didn't say it was perfect, Steve. It's just the one I use. This is a very weird app, this next one, okay? It's just called Email. Here's why it's a weird app. This app has been out for literally 6 years or 7 years, something like that. But it's never been in Google Play. It's never been in the app market before. This was the default application you would use if you wanted to connect to non-Gmail sources. But you never got updates for it. So in the past, there was a couple times where there's a couple security issues going on and you wouldn't know. You would never get an update. So now it's a genuine market app, and it is by Google Inc. So this week, there's already been, I think, 3 Google Inc. apps. This is the app you want to use if you don't want to use Gmail as an app. You can still use Gmail as a service with this application, but you can also use other SMTP or IMAP accounts with it. You don't get the quote-unquote normal Gmail interface of promotions, updates, kind of thing. It's just your email.
I got to say, it works extremely well with Exchange, because this is my go-to. This is my email app forever.
Yeah. Can I ask what kind of Exchange you have, Eric?
I don't know.
I mean, is it like you host, your organization hosts the Exchange themselves?
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Then it's probably 2010, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because every version is different. Then you have Hosted Exchange. Then you have 365. Then you have Outlook. You know, they're all...
Yeah, it's not 365. I don't think it's 365. But, yeah, no, I've been using this. This is my default. You've brought up other email apps, and I've never really found a reason to try them or go away from this. I've always liked it a lot.
Gotcha. Wow, if none of the email apps that Dor brought didn't sway you. I mean, he was on a roll there, bringing like, he brought like 10 or 15. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm still on Cloud Magic. It's so far the best of them, in my opinion. Okay. Now, for a complete change of pace, which right there was a swerve, it's another Google app, okay?
Oh, see what he did there?
Right. Now what...
A swerve.
This app... Yeah. This app is really new. This is what I think this app is going to become. Okay.
Ooh.
What this app enables you to do is to cast your video to a Chromecast type device. But notice the usage of the word type device. Supposedly this year, I think Samsung is going to start shipping TVs with quote unquote Chromecast built in. And I believe they're going to release some code so people can implement that into their stuff as well. So hypothetically, I could buy or I could download a XBMC with the ability to receive video like a Chromecast. Or on my Windows laptop, I might be able to cast a video from my Android device to my Windows laptop. This is the app that I think is the first starting of this, and it's called Google Cast Receiver.
It looks like to me that nobody can install this app on any device.
You're right.
Yeah, there's no reviews. There's no downloads.
I know.
I was all ready to install it on both devices, but...
Yeah, it says this app is incompatible with all of your devices.
You're right.
Yeah. There's 50 to 100, like, total.
Well, yeah, because here's the...
Gimmick, 10 to 50 installs.
Because the devices don't exist yet. You're going to have...
Well, how is that little girl in the picture doing it?
Magic, Steve. Because, like, the Samsung TV is going to have this app built into it. That's the way I'm led to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making the app available, but you know, you literally have to like design stuff for it, and you know.
So Google Cast is going to be a thing, as Chromecast is a thing now.
Ding.
Exactly. Okay.
I hope they make this work well, because it's a neat idea to, you know, be able to cast what's on your phone. Hey, check this video out. But I know even on my Samsung phone, you know, using, you know, an LG TV or whatever type of TV, really, I have mixed reviews. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. And it's like, it's very frustrating. So I just, a lot of times I don't even try or bother with it.
Yeah. You're saying using smart TV or are you using a Chromecast?
You just using a smart TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart TVs really haven't been smart yet.
They're not that I've seen.
I think we can leave it to each company to come up with their own. It's just going to be messy.
How far away do you think we are from being able to Chromecast from our device straight to a Chrome browser? Why hasn't that happened yet?
Because Google hasn't allowed it yet, basically. I mean,
that's got to be easy, right?
I guarantee you it's coming. What they say now is, well, now you can use Google Chrome to phone and you can do this and you can share the link back. That's too much like work. I'm with you. I want to be able to say, here's a video I'm watching, send it to my X device.
Yeah, because I don't, my living room doesn't have a television. My living room has a computer with two monitors. And if I'm sitting on my recliner and somebody's up, you know, I would love to not have to sit right in front of the computer to entertain myself. I could flink them up there from my device in my hand.
Well, I'll say there are solutions that exist that can do that. But Google Chromecast, I'll say, quality is unchallenged. There's nothing that challenges that. Because when that streams good, it streams perfect. You can use stuff like Plex. You can use even, I think, some XBMC kind of stuff. It isn't the same.
Right.
It's like comparing apples and mountains.
Oh,
you know, something.
Is there a comparison between apples and mountains? I'm confused.
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, can't compare. Okay,
point well taken.
Okay, this one is a game. There's a $1.99 game called Heroes and Castles.
Ooh.
I will say I was misled by this game, and I was upset. But then I realized I'm not upset because it's actually a fun game. I'm not a fan of castle defense type games because most of the defense types games I've played are pretty much exactly the same with only one little nuance here or one little thing there that makes them different. Oh, you're in a cowboy thing now. Oh, now you're in a space. You know, they're all the same, just slightly tweaked. This to me was very different. It's called Heroes and Castles. It's a $1.99. It has all the aspects of a defense game in the fact that it's defense strategy, but it also has some action RPG elements built into it, where this is literally like you're playing an RPG. And what you're doing is defending. So it's defense game, but the defense thing is almost secondary to the action RPG gameplay.
Yeah,
it looks really good.
Yeah, it looks I would never have guessed it was defense game just looking at the video. It looks like a first person shooter and a slasher. And
Right. Well, that we had, that's the thing. I saw the title. I saw the, I saw like 2 seconds of the video. I bought the game. I installed the game. I'm playing the game. And then like 30 minutes later, I'm like, wait a minute. This is a castle defense game. And then I was like, but yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Now it does have the bad controls as far as Jeff's concerned. Because Jeff's the official gamer on today's cast. But I will say, I almost like it in this instance because it keeps my fingers out of the way of the screen. Because there's so much on the screen that you literally have to see. You know?
Hmm. Pretty neat. Looks great.
Yeah, yeah, graphics are awesome.
I like it a lot.
Good one.
Okay, we're going to throw another one here. It's called Salient Eye. Salient Eye? Salient Eye.
Salient Eye. Home security alarm.
Salient Eye. Home security alarm. The disclaimer that this does not come with that I will give everyone is Android cameras almost always suck at low light. So if this is a security thing you want to monitor someplace at night or someplace dark, it's going to be kind of pointless. This is really only for moderately lit or well lit kind of things. You can basically set your phone up and leave it alone kind of thing and set it up as a quote unquote security camera where it will not record or do anything until it sees movement. I will say, it has its purpose, even if you just want to use it as a child monitor at night. You know, you have a young infant in the morning kind of thing you can review. With a, man, the kid was rolling around all night, or, you know, he was out like a light kind of thing. You can also get stuff like SMS alerts when it detects movement. You can do a sound alarm, which I think is stupid because then someone can just grab your phone and smash it into the pavement.
Or wake up the kid.
The screen can be turned off, which I think is a nice touch to it, but also you can get photos sent to you as well, as long as the phone's of course online. So when it detects movement, it can take pictures and send them to you. I thought it was a cool little app. I like the idea of using your phone as a security measure. Like, you know, take an old phone, put it on it, bam, you have a security camera.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good repurposing for an old device. There's a pretty shady character in the video of this app, too. I know. Well, <he is shady. laughs>
You'll have that. Okay. I'm going to bring this one here, too, just because the name is epic. And that name is Spy versus Spy.
Oh,
neat.
Yes, Steve. About 30 years ago or so, in a comic magazine, a physical media magazine called Mad Magazine, they always had a little strip called Spy versus Spy. And this is basically that in game form, where basically your goal is to try to kill the other spy and, you know, get out and get the prize. There's all kinds of different stages and levels and weapons and traps. It's mainly trap focused, but
dude, they have a retro game mode.
I honestly don't know what was. I never saw the retro game mode, so I must have missed that.
It seems like there used to be this game on something I had
on the old NES. I want to say there was a Spy versus Spy.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
That doesn't even look NES. That's well, something else.
And it's a buck 11, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's $1.11. Yeah.
All right. And here's what I'm tempted to do. I haven't tried it yet because I literally just found the game like yesterday. Me and my son, there's a way you can do it, says Wi-Fi multiplayer mode. So I can be sitting there, my son can be sitting there. We each have our own dedicated devices, but we're going head to head. That could be fun.
Nice, yeah.
And you'd play yours in the retro mode and give him the full graphics just to see if that helps you.
I don't know if they're cross thingable.
Oh.
Okay, now this next one I'm bringing, it's because it's a scam. Logically, it has to be. That's all I got to say. Okay. It's called Glasses Off. GLASSESOFF. This app claims it can improve your vision.
I heard if you use this app, you don't have to get your prescription for contacts filled for 18 years.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I'll just say this. I've been wearing glasses literally since I was 6 months old. Okay. Literally. I know a lot about vision and glasses. When I was young, I honestly looked into it and I actually read stuff about it. And eyes basically never get better with age. Macular degeneration is a real thing and it affects basically the entire human race to some degree. Your eyes slowly and steadily get worse. So an app claiming it can improve your vision is a lie. Now, there are certain techniques and certain things you can do throughout the day, every day, that can lessen how bad your eyes get. But to actually improve them, I think, is more perceived reality versus reality.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I've worn glasses a good portion of my life. And I'm to the point now, if I'm looking at my phone or tablet, I actually have to pull my glasses off in order to see it because it's too blurry. And I won't get bifocals. But anyways, yeah, it's one of those things where you're like going, that's the first thing I thought of, glasses off. Well, that's what I do anyway. So what do I need this app for?
Yeah. Well, wait, what if this works?
Then I will eat my hat, sir.
Well, ooh. You know, I do know that periods of time where I leave my glasses off for a long period of time, my vision does naturally clear up. And I don't know what that has to do with, you know, exactly. But it's not anywhere where it's necessarily usable.
Yeah. Dord, why don't you take this on as a challenge?
Because
they're saying that this will, I don't know, what claim are they making here?
First off, to do this correctly, you would need multiple people with very similar eyes. Okay, you would need at least two people to have very similar eye conditions. Then you would literally need to go in and get a thorough exam before this. One person used the app, the other person not used the app for an extended period of time and a dedicated period of time. And then have both people after the fact go in and take an eye exam again. And then you have to basically repeat that process a couple times to come to anything close to an answer. So, no, I'm not taking this challenge because there's no way for me to actually verify it. Anything I will say will just be my personal opinion and my personal perception on reality, yet again. I'll just say anything that has in the description scientifically proven technology, I take as a lie. Okay, I'll just say that. Also, it says Glasses Off begins with a patented online vision evaluation that determines your expected benefits. Patented. Have any of you ever went and had your eye exam? And do you think the things they do are possible to do online? I'm just wondering.
Can you please move a little closer to the webcam, Mr. Ardini? Oh yeah. I got, well, my nose is hitting the screen now.
Read the letters. A, Z, 3.
How did you make that puff of air come out of my webcam? That's amazing. It's patented.
Yeah. So I call Boulder Dash on this one.
What'd they say about it?
That's an old term that means BS.
Oh,
Boulder Dash.
Boulder Dash. Just garbage. Just complete garbage app. And if anyone spends any battery cycles on this app, don't tell me that you're doing it. I'll think less of you.
I'm installing it right now.
Okay. Thank you, Dora, because it's been like 2 months and I've been the only one bringing the bad apps. Thank you for bringing one.
Well, I saw this one and I just had to say something because there's, you know, it's one thing to claim you know, this app will help you get more healthy, but to improve vision is almost a fallacy. I mean, even if you go get LASIK surgery, guess what? You got to go back in sooner or later, get done again. Why? Because your eyes are constantly getting worse.
That's true.
Door, this isn't beta, so they're, you know.
Oh, well, that's,
you know.
Okay, whatever. I'm throwing the dancing out there last because I don't want to end on a bad note. It's called Uda City. Udacity. Now, I know we brought Udacity.
Udacity.
You know why? I couldn't tell because my bad eyes. Maybe I should have tried glasses off. Udacity. We brought other educational learning things in the past. Okay. But this one caught my eye for a little bit of reason. It's called Udacity Learning Program. It's kind of focused in on a little bit more of niches in some cases, but they also have stuff like college algebra, which I'm not taking that course, but they also have stuff in here like data wrangling in MongoDB. That's a pretty specific thing. You know, this isn't like database management. This is a very specific tool that they're using. They also have stuff like HTML5 game development, how to build a startup. It's a very, in for the most part, I don't want to say technology based, but I like the range and the style of things that they're offering. I just found it kind of interesting.
Yeah, the topics are good. I'll tell you, man, this online learning, like from Udemy, like this is like Udemy, is all the rage. I've been getting, like, since I had a course on Udemy, I've probably gotten like 4 or 5 emails from other companies that are starting up going, can you put your course on my site too? This online training and online courses is taking off in the last 2 years like I've never seen. It's all the rage. It's the new trend.
It's the future.
It's definitely.
No in-app purchases. These are free classes. Yeah. What there's another barrier of entry that you were talking about a couple days ago.
Well,
another barrier of entry just gone. You don't have to be an elite rich person to take this class.
Yeah.
I will say, I think there was something you could pay for, but everything I did, it just worked. It didn't ask me for a credit card or anything. Yeah, just worked.
Interesting.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I want to say it's called, it's like ORPG, but it's massively online education. There's an acronym for it. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, whatever that acronym is, it's definitely taken off. So huge.
And it's only going to get more and more popular, I'm sure.
MIT or Harvard kind of started all this quite a while ago with some videos of actual lectures going on that they just threw out there for free.
Well, they're both on board now. There's two basic camps. There's Coursera and there's edX. Both of them are now groups of universities and colleges. Each college is typically only in one of those camps, and most of them have legitimate professors sitting in on online classes and giving you access to genuine in-class lectures and stuff like that. The barrier of entry for knowledge is dropping hundreds of feet by the second.
Oh, yeah.
Now, all it really is to some places, it's a tease. They give it to you, but you don't get credit for it. You can get some kind of certificate of completion from some of them, but you will not get any credits or any, papers.
Well, hopefully, eventually, businesses won't hire on college degrees. They'll hire on, like, they'll have some other type of testing that determine if you're qualified.
Well, good example today, a friend told me that he had a place call him up on like the first of the month, the third of the month phone interview, fourth of the month phone interview, fifth of the month in-person interview, sixth of the month offered him a job for 2.5 times his current pay. And when he looked at the job description, it said you had to have a master's degree and 12 years of experience, to which he turned to me and said, I have neither one of them, Steve. I said, I know. I said, but you're you're going to, if they hired someone with those creds and they were sitting next to you, you would still blow them away because you have real world in the trenches experience.
Sure.
It's inevitable. I'll say all the paper is send your hate mail, send it in. All the degree is just showing that you had the dedication to complete something. It's no sign of actual intelligence or actual competency. It just shows that you were dedicated to do something. And honestly, that has value.
Mm-hmm. I believe that too. It does have value.
You know, I'm looking at some of these classes and, you know, applied cryptography, artificial intelligence for robots, design of computer programs, differential equations in action. You know what this is? This came from the CIA and NSA. This is where you take these tests online, and this is where they hire from.
Well, I will say, I guarantee you,
possibility,
some of these educational institutes are being monitored. I will say that.
Definitely. They made sure they purposely listed all those specifically.
But I am infatuated with the idea of online learning, even though I don't have the time to do any of them.
I think we all online learn indirectly, not course by course, but if there's something we want to get done, we'll search for a YouTube video or just a Google search even and try to learn how to do something, if one of our things breaks that we own.
Absolutely. I've been doing it so long, and you guys probably have too. Personally, when somebody talks to me about going to college, I just cringe a little bit.
I just say, do you go for the beer?
That's a good reason to go. It's a great social life, social experience. Oh my God, can't beat it. But it's expensive.
How many in this room have a college degree? Okay, there you go. And have we all owned our own businesses?
Well, I didn't raise my hand because I'm not in your room.
Well, see, here's the gimmick. I knew nobody in here.
I don't have one.
We all probably went to college, but...
Yeah.
Nope.
6 months.
And who... Yeah.
Six months. And I said, bye. Honestly, I knew nobody in here had a college degree because of one simple fact. A lot of college graduates believe diplomas equal intelligence. And that's not, they're not mutually binding. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I know plenty of stupid people that graduated college, plenty of smart people that graduated college, plenty of stupid people that never graduated college, and plenty of smart people that never graduated college.
Yes.
Yep.
Covered all bases there.
Didn't I ever tell you the story about my sister?
Well,
God which bless one? Her. Let's just say she went to some of the most expensive, I think, colleges, NYU, Hofstra University, 4.0 grade average, whatever, read the entire New and Old Testament and all the encyclopedias before going to kindergarten, okay? Smart. Really smart.
Wait. Say that again, and let do it in a way that you expect us to believe that.
I don't care if you believe it.
She read all the encyclopedias before she went to kindergarten.
Yes.
You said that, right? Okay. Yes. All right. I got you.
She's unique. Very unique person. She can sit down and watch Jeopardy and literally get like 80%+ of them right in like that. She came home from college, not drunk, and turned to me in the house where she lived for 18+ years and said, "Where do you keep the butter?" I said, without hesitation, "We keep it on the back fence." She walked towards the back door and touched the doorknob before she realized it's not on the back fence. Okay. So, even all the reading she did and all the stuff that she knew doesn't mean she's actually intelligent.
Well, that's because she was trusting her brother, but apparently her brother took advantage of her.
It took that long for her to...
It was a long drive, my goodness.
She's the one who literally stuck powdered Drano in my mouth as a kid and put me in a dryer. When I was young. So her trusting me was never a question. Why did I trust her is the question.
I'm glad you made it through that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Did you have to get glasses right after that happened or anything?
Before. It was before that. Okay.
Crazy, man. All right. Well, you didn't want to end off on a bad note, but that's
the best we got, baby.
Statute of limitations is 7 years has passed, so we're good as far as the abuse goes.
She's good as long as she stays in New York. Everything's fine.
Dwar, what would you say, like to say to the folks before we end off?
Thanks for everyone for all their support. Please don't forget podnotes.com/Amazon, frictionless way for you to support the network. And I'm going to throw out there, Bryce Witty, Tech Nibble, Computer Repair Business Kit. He just launched version 3 of that business kit. I highly encourage people to check it out. And there is a link on the Podnotes homepage to get it and support the network. And I believe Jeff has a show that he just recorded with Bryce, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, actually, that show will be posted tomorrow.
Awesomeness. Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Thanks, Dwar. Eric, what would you like to say?
I would like to say, let us know what you think of the format this week with the show so we know. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We're here for you guys.
Yes, I agree. Definitely let us know. I know we're trying a bunch of different things, but it's all kind of the same in the end. We're still given the same data, just in different ways. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, we're having a cooking show this week and a knitting show next week. It's still Android App Addicts, but we're just seeing what format works the best for all concerned. So good call, Eric, and definitely let us know. And Jeff, what would you like to say before we end off?
I just appreciate you guys inviting me on the show, and it was fun to laugh a little bit and just relax and share some apps, and hopefully everybody's gotten something out of this, and either a laugh or a good app, you know, so
I just maybe both. No, thanks a ton for coming on, man. It was a pleasure having you on. Hopefully you can come back on in the future.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Awesome. Awesome. And if you guys want to find out what I'm up to these days, I like electronic dance music. And I started a site called edmr.com. It's EDMMR, where I interview top DJs and producers from around the world. Literally around the world. I mean, I've probably hit like 20 or 30 different countries so far. And ask these guys how they make their dance music. And if you're interested in that, you got to hear some of the stories these guys are telling. It's very cool stuff. So that's at edmmr.com. My name is Steve Cherubino. This has been Android App Addicts. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a good weekend. See you next week.